And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. My name's Jo Stanley. As always, across from me is Gerald Quigley. Good morning.
Good morning, Jo.
And Sally Overmeter. Lovely to see you.
Good morning.
Hi,
and
Sal.
Right at the top, we must say happy 50th wedding anniversary to you, Gerald, and your lovely wife, Philippa.
Thank you, Jo. Very kind of you. Just a little milestone that you clock up on the journey of life.
Isn't that lovely? 50 years, Sal.
Amazing. And I really want to give a special shout out to Philippa because that's quite an achievement.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. That's just been noted.
It doesn't go unnoticed. It's true. Yes. Well, now today, a very common problem for many of us is the common flu. It is coming for us this flu season, of course, as winter approaches. And I don't know how many times I've said to friends of mine, oh, there's a lot going around in the last couple of weeks.
And it used to be flu, but we've got a complication now, Jo, as you know. And the more experts who are coming on and talking about this are warning us, and it'll be interesting to talk to our expert who's coming up, warning us that the importance of being protected against the flu is more important than ever now, because most of us have not been exposed to the usual germs that we get and our kids bring home and grandchildren bring home. We haven't had that. So we're really a little unprepared. So more than ever, vaccination, and let's hope it's not hysterical like last time. We just get it done.
GQ, do you think there's an added complication because it's flu season crossed with, obviously,
yes,
COVID is going around?
I do, Sal, and that'll be certainly a question we can address to Professor Ian Barr, our expert, who'll be coming on shortly, because things like this we need to educate people about. We need to reinforce the message. Rather than threaten, just reinforce the message and encourage.
Well, I've heard this term, flu-rona. Which is terrible.
It's more like a cocktail.
It sounds awful, this double whammy of the coronavirus and flu together. So that does terrible, and it's something that we will be bringing up with our first guest today, Professor Ian Barr, who is Deputy Director of the World Health Organization Collaborating Center for Reference and Research on Influenza. And we're going to find out how we can best avoid getting it this year. Alopecia is another topic that we're going to be looking at this morning. It was highlighted at the Oscars when a poor taste joke was directed at actress Jada Pinkett Smith, if you were across that during the week. But regardless, hair loss is a very common question that you get, Gerald.
One of the most common questions on the Ask tab for House of Wellness, by the way, houseofwellness.com.au, the Ask tab never closes. Yes, a lot of women are worried about hair loss, and then they worry further, is this alopecia? Is this serious stuff? And I think sometimes it's dismissed. They discuss it with their doctor, and whether it's time pressure or not, I don't know. But the often the message is, don't worry about it. It's normal.
It's not something to dismiss.
No,
I agree. A hair loss is a very concerning thing, so
it's a full-on thing, and often it can happen to people with no notice, you know, so it's not like you've got time to prep for it, and it's deeply personal how we present ourselves on the outside. Hair loss is not something I think that people can underestimate the impact of, you know, it's a very full-on experience.
So we're looking forward to speaking with Dr. Leona Yip, a fellow of the Australasian College of Dermatologists and a specialist in alopecia, who explains this condition and its effect on those with it, both medically and mentally. Plus, Gerald, you're back with A to Z of Vitamins. We're going to be learning about the benefits of probiotics for the healthy immune system.
Gut health today, Jo, one of your favourite topics.
I love it. 131873 is our number for your health questions, anything that may support your health this morning. Perhaps you're looking to boost your immune system before the winter lurgies hit. Give us a call, 131873, because as we said, it's been all about COVID for so long, but next up we're going to learn how to avoid that other nasty influenza. That's on the House of Life.
You're listening to the House. House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you ready to do your part to help slow the spread of influenza? Then it's time to book in for your flu immunisation today. Immunisation is a safe and effective way to help protect you from the flu. By getting immunised, you also help to protect those too ill or too young to be vaccinated. After all, it takes a community to build immunity. So go to chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu and make your appointment today. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Do give us a call, 131 873, with any questions that you might have for your health. Perhaps you're seeking relief from flu-like symptoms because it is going around. Seasonal flu causes up to 645,000 deaths each year worldwide, affecting millions of people. As winter is approaching, we thought we would find out how best to protect ourselves from this. And joining us on the line is Professor Ian Barr, the Deputy Director of the World Health Organization Collaborating Center for Reference and Research on Influenza. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
It's lovely of you to join us on this Sunday morning. Now, I have had the flu twice in my life and lots of colds, and there is quite a difference. Can you please explain the difference between a flu and the common cold?
Yeah, for most people, the symptoms are similar when they start off, and for influenza, normally the symptoms can be more severe than a common cold, so that might mean longer in bed, more severe headaches, more fatigue than a common cold. But it's very difficult to tell in the early stages between a cold and influenza. That really needs a lab test to determine that conclusively.
There's been a large number of deaths from the flu internationally. Talk to us about who do you think is the most susceptible to having complications with the flu?
So they're the usual suspects. So the very young children, so children under 5 years of age, and especially the older age group, so people over 65 years of age. There are also some other groups which you might not normally consider at risk for more severe complications from influenza, and they include pregnant women, people with heart and lung conditions, people with diabetes, people who are obese, and obviously people with asthma and other lung conditions are also susceptible.
Ian, normally the formulation for Australia is based on what's happened in the Northern Hemisphere in the previous season. How has that formulation been able to put together when the focus has been on COVID? Are we getting the most up-to-date formulation of the strains that have been a challenge in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah, that's always a challenge because, you know, the influenza vaccine has to be made well ahead of the season. So we make our decisions 6 to 9 months ahead of the actual season. So we've made our decision for the Australian and Southern Hemisphere formulation back in September 2021. Mm-hmm. So the viruses which we were circulating then are, in fact, quite similar to the ones which circulated in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay.
So the viruses in the Australian vaccine for 2022 are, in fact, very well represented for the viruses we might expect this season.
Okay.
Ian, we've all been isolating, of course. That's been happening a lot due to COVID. So what does that mean in terms of our resistance to the flu for this season?
Yeah, so influenza hasn't circulated very much. So the last 2 years, and especially 2021, was a record low year for influenza. And that was typified in most parts of the world. But what we've seen since then is that influenza has re-emerged. And so what that means is that influenza will be here in 2022 for sure. The herd immunity or the community's immunity will be lower because we haven't seen much influenza in 2020 and 2021. And also vaccination rates were down last year, so we are a little bit vulnerable this year.
Ian, how can we make sure that the messaging about flu vaccine doesn't become as confused and convoluted and in some cases hysterical that has happened with COVID? Can we get a message that might be educational rather than confrontational?
Look, I think, we have a very long track record with influenza vaccines. The vaccines are available for everybody from 6 months of age and upwards, so there is no complicating age restrictions. It's only a single dose, and you can get it at any time from now on. So I think it's a pretty simple message out there. If you're over 6 months and you want to be protected against influenza, the best method is to be vaccinated. And so you can get that at a variety of shops, either your GP or a pharmacy or maybe through your workplace.
Great.
And what about the timing if we're looking at a booster for the COVID vaccination? Is that a difficult thing to manage?
Look, I think it's a lot simpler this year. Last year we had varying restrictions on time between the COVID-19 and influenza vaccines or vice versa. This year it's much simpler. You can get them at the same time, but of course you can get them separately as well. So there's no recommended time limitation between doses by ATAGI this year.
Okay, and if we're looking at other things to help us prevent flu outside of the vaccination, what do you recommend?
Go to your country property and don't meet anybody. That's probably the best way of doing it.
Yes, please.
Aside from that, if we don't have a country property to go to.
Look, you know, I think some of the things we've done for COVID-19, such as the distancing at 1.5 metres, masks, might help a little bit. But, you know, a lot of cases of influenza and COVID-19 occur in the households and through school-age kiddies. So, you know, that's still going to happen. So I think you can mitigate things to some extent, but there's no magical cure. Swallowing a kilo of vitamin C tablets won't help you, and very few other things will help you to the same extent as vaccination.
All righty. Well, if we can keep our distance, we should. Mm. But I'm a fan of hygiene as well, the washing of the hands and all the things that we learned during
COVID. I'm a fan of the country property, quite frankly.
Sounds wonderful.
But Ian, what you're really essentially saying is we've got to be just as careful and sensible as we have been over the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, I think all of these respiratory viruses spread through the same means, and that's mainly respiratory droplets and aerosols. So, you know, while you can wash your hands, the more or most likely way you'll be infected is through airborne transmission. So that's the main way to try and protect yourself. So that's why masks are probably the best measure apart from vaccination.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Ian Barr. We appreciate your time this morning.
No problems.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you. Let's get to some calls. 131873. Good morning, Pam in Berwick. Good morning.
Hi, Pam. How can we help?
Hello. This is so great to hear. You know, so much information. I'm so glad. I've only really discovered you recently, and it's lovely to hear all this information. Yes. When I was at 14, I had what I thought was a severe bout of flu with blood, nose and headaches, and I fainted. And a lot of people, when they get the common cold, they all say, well, I've got the flu. But to me, if that was really the flu, I don't know what else it would have been. But I wondered if perhaps I got immunity from that. I've always been very, very healthy. And when I get the common cold or any sort of respiratory trouble, I go to U3A and I love it. And I always put on a mask. And people say, why have you got a mask on? And I said, well, I don't want to pass this on to someone else.
Well, and Professor Ian's just verified that, Pam. So what you've done, you're taking sensible precautions to make sure you protect yourself and protecting others. And just the fact that you go to U3A means you're connected, you're happy, you're challenged, and all of that optimism actually helps your immune system stay as strong as it possibly can do. So well done, Pam.
Yes, I do love that, Pam. But I have got a question further to what she's saying. Could she have developed an immunity of the flu because she's had it once? But no, because the strain is different each year.
But immunity is a very complex thing. And provided you get plenty of sleep, all those things we talk about, sensible eating, plenty of sleep, maintaining your ability to cope with any stress that comes your way, all of those things. Because often it can be one event, a late night where you get very poor sleep. All of these things can just blow your immune function short term out the window.
Well, do keep your calls coming. 131 873 is our number. We'll get more calls next on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you ready to do your part to help slow the spread of influenza? Then it's time to book in for your flu immunisation today. Immunisation is a safe and effective way to help protect you from the flu. By getting immunised, you also help to protect those too ill or too young to be vaccinated. After all, it takes a community to build immunity. So go to chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu and make your appointment today. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Overmeter. And we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Now, before we get to some more calls, Gerald, you have another important reminder.
Rapid antigen tests are back available. Well, there's plenty about, but for concession card holders, Jo, now it's the new month. They get their entitlement again at no charge from their local pharmacy. So you just roll in with your concession card as you've been doing, and your supply of rapid antigen tests are there.
Good little reminder. Thank you for that, GQ. Now, Jeanette in Albury. Good morning.
Hello, Jeanette.
Good morning. I'm due to have a Prolia injection for low bone density next week. And I was wondering, would you suggest I ask for the flu injection at the same time?
Well, you certainly can, Jeanette. Professor Ian just said that having the flu vaccine alongside other vaccinations is no issue. Your Prolia is specifically for osteoporosis. Check with your doctor. I'm sure you'll have no problems getting both at the same time.
Thanks, Jeanette, for that call. Megan from Shoalhaven, good morning.
Hi, Megan.
Good morning. Good morning.
How can we help?
You might be able to help me, please, Joe. I have arthritis in my spine, and I've started taking rosehip vital capsule.
Yes.
Now, I've been taking the prescribed dosage, 6 a day.
Yes.
But what I've found that's happening is I'm getting a heartburn and a bit of indigestion with this. And I'm wondering, it seems to be that because I stopped. I thought, is it this or not? And when I stopped, I didn't have it anymore.
Okay. It's a good formulation, Megan. A couple of suggestions. Are they helping, first of all?
They did. Good. I'm sure they did help. Fine. And I've only been taking them a month.
Okay. Well, how about, first of all, reduce the dose? So instead of having 6 a day, now you've had a little break, go back to perhaps 2 in the morning and 2 at night, halfway through your meal, Megan. So eat, have the capsules and half a glass of water, and then some more food. And that should make a difference. If it doesn't, drop me an email, give me an update, and I'll suggest a few other options. But that's the easiest way. And with a bit of luck, you'll get the same relief without the heartburn.
Thanks, Megan. Bruce from Mount Druitt, good morning.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello there. I suffer from every time I go on a bus or a train, and, you know, like for half an hour or an hour, I get dizzy spells. Not dizzy spells, I don't fall over or nothing.
No.
But I put on those wristbands with the little
Did that help, Bruce? Didn't help.
Well, not really. And I take Travel Calm tablets, you know, like half an hour before I do it.
Bruce, you want any medications that you might take each day?
Yeah, I take blood pressure tablets.
Yep. And I think that's the problem.
Tablets.
Okay, now I reckon the blood pressure tablets are the culprit here. So if you could please document how you feel and go back and have a discussion about the blood pressure pills that you're on, because I think they are probably what's causing your blood pressure to go too low and therefore you feel dizzy. And I do it pretty soon. You haven't had a fall, Bruce, but the unexpected fall on public transport can be rather traumatic, the last thing you want. So could you do that with your doctor in the next few days, please?
It's only an eight milligram.
Yeah, that's fine. The strength isn't important. It's what's happening to your blood pressure in the meantime that potentially is causing you an issue. And make sure as well that you always have breakfast, and Sally will have suggestions of a good protein breakfast perhaps, because it could also be low blood sugar that's causing the problem.
Absolutely. Low blood sugar is a big one. And I think you want to make sure you just get a good mix of protein, so stuff like eggs, or you want to have, so protein, carbs and a little bit of fat. So a proper hearty breakfast. You know, it's funny, I often just say the old school sort of like eggs, a little bit of bacon, some spinach, you know, like some toast. Like, that's a good breakfast. It's a nice mix of all your macronutrients.
Well done, sir.
Blood sugar steady.
How about a pie, Sil?
Not a pie, JQ.
For breakfast. A pie for breakfast.
Sil's famous for her pies.
mean, Jackie's always trying to hit me up for a pie.
I mean, I love a pie. And why not for breakfast?
Why not?
I mean,
well, there you go.
Life's
why
too
not?
Short. If you love a pie, have it for breakfast.
Imagine egg and bacon in a pie.
Oh, delicious. Yeah, yeah. Now you're talking. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, everyone. I had a quick question on the flu vaccination. Mm-hmm. In 1991, I developed a thing called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yes.
And my neurologist said, never have a flu vaccination. That can actually bring it on. And I've never had a flu vaccination. And this worries me because I'm sort of stuck. I don't know what to do.
Well, the GB Guillain-Barré is a most unpleasant issue, Amanda, and you've obviously been through that. Have a chat to your doctor. It's a risk versus benefit thing. So the benefit is you may have a lower risk of catching flu, but the risk for you is not the flu, it's a reactivation of the virus. Have a chat with your doctor and, if necessary, get further advice from a specialist.
Thank you so much, Amanda. What is Guillain-Barré?
It is a nerve paralysis condition, neurological, that can be brought on from stress, from an infection, from other viral infections like shingles. It's a dreadful thing that can last for a long time and can be incredibly serious.
Wow, and it sounds like quite the management. Well, thank you so much for your call there, Amanda. Do keep them coming, 131 873. Plus, next up, we learn what it's like for the 1 in 50 Australians living with alopecia with dermatologist and alopecia specialist Dr. Leonie Yip. That's after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Now, while hair loss is very common, for many it can be very distressing. But what is the cause? There are several forms of alopecia, which is known to most of us as hair loss. And today we're discussing one of the most common conditions that affects 1 in 50 people, that is alopecia areata. Joining us on the line is Dr. Leonie Yip, a fellow of the Australasian College of Dermatologists, Director of Skin Partners Specialist Dermatologists in Brisbane, and an expert in alopecia. Good morning, Leona.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for joining us to discuss something that is a very common thing. And I know that you treat patients every day who have alopecia. So can you explain to us what is this condition?
Sure. So alopecia really is an umbrella term to describe any form of hair loss. The commonest forms that most people know about would be genetic thinning, which is male pattern baldness and female pattern hair loss. But other common forms of alopecia have an underlying medical basis, and these are also really common. So such as autoimmune causes, conditions like alopecia areata, frontal fibrosing alopecia, and hair loss caused by lupus.
So I mean, you said hair loss caused by lupus, but what are some other factors that cause alopecia?
Mainly genetic predisposition. So if we want to really talk about a condition like alopecia areata, for example, most autoimmune causes would be a genetic predisposition, and where the immune system is wrongly programmed to attack the hair follicles, causing inflammation and the hairs to fall out. There are other forms of hair loss where the hairs shed, so hairs can fall out in clumps, but the causes of that particular condition would be different. So it could be severe nutritional deficiencies, for example, hormonal issues like thyroid problems, iron deficiencies, and stress can be a common trigger for hair loss. Now, I also like to stress at this point that stress is not a cause per se of most hair loss conditions. It is a common trigger. So whilst managing stress is important, but you know, asking people to avoid stress altogether so they don't get alopecia, it's just really not accurate, nor is it practical advice.
I find when people say don't be stressed, it makes me more stressed.
Exactly. Unless you live in a bubble, that's just not possible.
No. Leona, hair loss in women especially is an incredibly personal challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that often the discussion with the GP about hair loss is dismissed as something that's not really all that important?
I think hair loss in general, no matter who you talk to, there's a lot of dismissal about its concerns, mainly because there's lack of awareness in education about how devastating the effect can be. And certainly I agree there should be a lot more education in the medical profession. So patients are heard, referrals are initiated early to dermatologists who can actually help them with an evidence-based approach. And the other issue is also because, let's face it, there's a lot of medications or treatments out there for hair loss which are not evidence-based. mm-hmm. which don't really help hair loss. So unfortunately, people who suffer from hair loss are vulnerable to these marketing ploys, and you know they invest a lot of time, energy, and money on sure. things that unfortunately don't work. So it is important for GPs to realise how devastating it can be, mm-hmm. know how to treat them, or at least refer them on early.
Mm. How can hair loss be treated? What are some options?
It depends really on what the hair loss condition is. So the first thing to do is to get the correct diagnosis. So I also like to say at this point, it is not true when people always say, there are no treatments for alopecia, the only thing for you to do is to accept it. And this is really not true. There are always treatment options, but obviously response to treatment can vary from person to person. And a dermatologist who is a medical specialist can usually recommend tailored treatment options based on your diagnosis. But unfortunately, many forms of alopecia cannot be prevented nor can it be cured. And treatments range from anti-inflammatory medications that can be applied or injected into the scalp, right up to oral treatments that modulate the immune system, as well as hair growth stimulants that we can offer to people. But, you know, we're really in incredibly exciting times, because when we're talking about a condition like alopecia areata, where traditionally there hasn't been really good treatments, you know, there are new and game-changing emerging treatments for this condition that hopefully will be available for us in Australia within the next few years.
Leona, could I summarise our discussions by saying that if we've got people listening, women especially, who are worried about their hair and it's been dismissed as irrelevant, which is very sad, that they persist in the questioning and ask for a referral and really almost demand a referral if it's becoming overwhelming, the hair loss?
Yes, so if the diagnosis is unclear, and remember that not all hair loss conditions is due to ageing, and
sure.
that is a common myth that people dismiss. Mm-hmm. So refer them on early, because there are medical causes of hair loss that can be treated,
yes.
and we can also these days help people regrow their hairs to some extent.
Yes.
Not everyone responds that well,
no.
but there has to be a discussion on what we can do and
yes.
how we can help these people.
Yes.
I'm really encouraged to hear, though, that there are potentially new treatments coming in the next few years to Australia, so there is some hope.
Yes, for alopecia areata, the first medication in this new class of medication is being considered for TGA approval for use in Australia, but it would be at least another 12 to 18 months at least before
okay.
we get them. But watch this space.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I think it's incumbent on all of us to have a deep understanding of those who are going through this.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, definitely. Alopecia is often devastating. And when it comes to alopecia areata, it happens so suddenly.
Mm.
Usually there's no time to adjust to it.
Mm.
You know, they don't know what's happening. And within days, they can get multiple patches of hair loss or complete scalp hair loss. And it can affect children, teenagers that get bullied or teased at school, and adults who are affected. They lose self-esteem, self-confidence, and it really affects how they feel about themselves and their ability to function on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, regardless of age, alopecia often leads to depression and anxiety. And this is something we shouldn't forget and shouldn't dismiss.
Mm.
So, you know, a patient once said to me, it's like you look at yourself in the mirror and suddenly you don't even recognize yourself because you've lost your identity. You don't see yourself without hair.
Mm.
So as an alopecia specialist, what I have really learned through my patients over the years, the best coping strategy really is to educate your support network about how devastating alopecia can be, so then they can support you with more compassion and sensitivity. And I also like to say, it's not really okay to say to people affected by alopecia that it's just hair, because
yes.
it's not just hair for them.
Yes.
You know, and there's nothing you can do, so you just have to live with it. These are really not great things to say. Yeah, because asking people to accept their alopecia when the diagnosis is still fresh, or when they haven't actually had any time to adjust to it, often upset them even more.
Of course.
So the best thing to do is acknowledge how difficult it is for them to be dealing with it. Let them know that they are able to seek help. Discuss treatment options with a dermatologist before they decide whether or not to accept it.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you so much for that incredible insight, Dr. Leona Yip. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And let's get to one call before we get to the break. Hello there, Kay in Melbourne.
Hi, Kay.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. That was a bit of a segue. I think my hair's thinning due to maybe menopause.
Well, there
but
you go.
My main question was, and I don't know if that's part of it, is I have no idea how long menopause lasts. Obviously, it varies between people, just
sure.
like when it starts.
Sure.
But I don't know if it's 5 years, 10, 30.
Kay, you virtually answered your question because this is a time. It's not a disease. It's not a medical condition. It is a time of change where you've got hormones changing within your body, and every single person is different. So it's easy for a bloke to say, but you just enjoy the passage, enjoy the independence, enjoy all those things, because out of it there are some positives.
Absolutely, that's right, Jackie. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's different for everyone, and also the symptoms are different for everyone. So for some people, for example, it's the hormonal mood swings that are bigger, whereas the night sweats are less. Whereas for other people, it's the night sweats or the weight gain. So there's no one sort of run of course for menopause.
No.
It's absolutely different for everybody.
And get your partner involved as well.
I would say too, though, Gerald, you can't say enjoy the passage when you are absolutely overwhelmed by the symptoms and you feel often like you're quite drowning. So, Kay, I would recommend you to seek out Jean Hales for Women's Health. They're an incredible organisation that have fantastic resources on their website, but also give them a call because they can refer you to specialists and they can sort of ease you through the process. And it is different for everyone, but you don't need to suffer in silence, Kay. No. So, check out Jean Hales for Women's Health. I'm a big fan of all the work that they do.
Okay, Jean Health. Yeah, I'd never heard of them. Is it? The other thing was just really quickly was: is it too late to start HRT? Like, is there a cut-off time?
That again is a discussion, Kay, you have with your doctor. Look, that's Jean and Hales. Give them a call, and that's the sort of question you address to them. And it's an outstanding organisation.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call, and we will get to more of your calls next after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
It's another big day, a 5K walk, 10K bike ride, followed by some work in the garden. Feeling tired? Just thinking about it? Achieve more with Wakey Wakey Gummies. Tailor your wakefulness with up to 5 gummies per day to help boost energy levels and support concentration. Plus, each gummy contains vitamins B3, B6, B12 and C for increased mental stamina. Wakey Wakey Gummies are $12.99 from Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Gerald, it's time for A to Z of Vitamins. We're talking probiotics today.
We often talk exciting developments, Joe, and probiotics and the 3 kilogram of gut bacteria we each carry around every day, we're learning a lot more about. So a probiotic is designed to restore healthy gut microbiome. So in issues like irritable bowel syndrome, bloating, immune system, probiotics play an important role, and it can be upset by poor food, stress levels, whatever. Look after your gut, it will look after you.
And supports your immune system Hopefully. Going into flu season.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Well, the A to Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Go Healthy's Pro Spectrum Biotic, a convenient, high-strength, one-a-day formulation to help support healthy bowel and immune system function. We've got time for one more very quick call. Good morning.
Barry.
Barry.
Hi, Barry.
Oh, no. Our caller has dropped out. Barry's question was around leg cramps.
Yeah, very common. And magnesium, Barry. Get magnesium in capsule or powder form and within a couple of doses. Take it before you go to bed at night. Cramps will disappear.
Mm, you love magnesium, I know that.
Well, I don't mind sleeping. You can't sleep with a cramp.
Thank you so much to all of our callers this morning. Houseofwellness.com.au is our is the website. If you have a question, go to the Ask tab, houseofwellness.com.au. Of course, you can check out more House of Wellness on TV with our show. It's returning today midday on Channel 7. There's a fantastic story about a world first trial coming out of Melbourne on peanut allergies in kids.
How exciting is that? This is incredible.
Mm. This is really special.
Really, really special. And when we're talking IBS as well, irritable bowel, there's a fantastic explanation on FODMAP diets, low FODMAP diets. Do you know much about this, Sal?
I know a little bit. It's things like garlic and onion can irritate people with a FODMAP diet. But it's again, it's like these things, it's different for everybody in terms of what's a trigger for you. So it's interesting. Mm.
Yes, I'm on a low FODMAP diet, actually. So I don't have onion, garlic, cauliflower, apples, pears, stone fruits, those sorts of things. Mm. But if you want to investigate it, I highly recommend the Monash University FODMAP diet app. It's amazing. You can just put in the foods and go, oh, is this something? Is it going to be a red alert food? Mm. Don't go there.
So you're informed before you make a decision on the food.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Did you know that low dietary magnesium levels can cause muscles to cramp? Support muscle function with Go Healthy Pro Magnesium Muscle from Chemist Warehouse. It contains not one but two well-absorbed forms of magnesium and the herb cramp bark, which is traditionally used in Western herbal medicine to relieve muscle cramps. Help support your magnesium levels with Go Healthy Pro Magnesium Muscle, only $49.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
It's been lovely to spend the last hour with you, Gerald and Sally.
Heaps of fun, you guys. Happy Sunday.
Terrific. Yes. See you. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yes. I'd like to give a little shout out to the thousands of people who are running in the Run Melbourne event today. I do love an organised fun run, Sal.
So do I. I just did a 30-kilometre walk about a week ago, actually.
30K. For Coast Trek.
Yeah, for well Coast done. Trek.
Yeah, I'm doing the Melbourne one in a couple of months. How did you
go? Look, I was very sore the next day. I'm not going to lie to you.
I've been told.
I loved it.
I've been told I have to get waders for over my shoes.
Look,
are you going to walk
rainy
on water?
I don't know where you're going.
No, I'm walking across sand, I believe. Anyway, it's a wonderful event, the Coast Trek. It's national event and I do love it. Thank you so much for joining us on the House of Wellness. As always, head to houseofwellness.com.au and thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. You guys have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Jo. See yourself.
We'll see you next week on the House of Wellness.